Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19, we'll read verses 26 through 30 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 19, verses 26 through 30. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And let's read verse 30 together. Ready? When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. Lord, so many blessings, so many hearts that have been softened and tenderized by the word of God, and yet still a needy people. Father, we stand before you in need because we're sinners. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May the Holy Spirit rest mightily upon him. There's no way that one person could meet the needs of the hundreds and hundreds of lives represented here. But you could use our preacher and allow the Holy Spirit to work through him to do that. We pray that you do that, please, in a mighty way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I am not a special day speaker. I'm not good at speaking on special days. I probably never will be. It's a little bit because I rebel against this thought. You set aside a day called Christmas, and that's the only day you think about Jesus' birth. And I don't like that. I happen to think that 365 days a year we ought to think about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And I happen to think more than just one day a year should the world look to a virgin-born Savior. So I struggle when I come to speaking on a day such as Christmas, because a part of me feels like this isn't right. It's not right that we should just take that one day and ignore him the rest of the year. I feel the same way about what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. I don't mind preaching about the resurrection on Resurrection Sunday, but don't be shocked if I don't preach an Easter sermon in August or in February. Because 365 days a year, we are to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And somehow this old world thinks that if you just take one day, call it Easter, and then hey, let half the day be stolen with the bunny, we'll celebrate the resurrection. And there's something inside me that just rebels at that. Because I think 365 days a year, we should be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Not just one day. You take Thanksgiving. To me, 365 days a year, we need to be thankful for what we have. So what the world will do is set aside one day and make it Thanksgiving. And people that would use his name in vain 364 days will be careful on that one, because it's the day we're going to be thankful for what he's done for us. And again, in my heart, there's something that says, I just don't like that. And I rebel against it. And I have to say about Mother's Day, I think every day is supposed to be Mother's Day. I think every day we're to love our mama. I think every day we're to respect our mother. I don't think, and you listen to me, everybody here, you won't make up for the rest of the year today. I'm sorry. I just will not accept the fact that we can be rude, unkind, and ignore our mothers 364 days a year, give her a card or some flowers one day, and we've made up for it. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. That is not realistic, and that is not honest or true, and that is not how Christians are to behave themselves. Today I come on behalf of all mothers. The title of my sermon is, Don't Hurt Your Mama. Don't hurt your mama. I come on behalf of all mothers today, and may I explain, most of you, your mother won't say, please don't hurt me by doing that, because Mama's careful. She almost doesn't want to express the disappointment in having to say to you, don't hurt me. And I'll tell you this, if your mother's had to say, please don't hurt me again, you've gone way too far in your behavior. Mamas are usually the last ones to say, that hurt me. I'm disappointed, because they work so hard not to be hurt and not to be disappointed. But I come on behalf of all the mothers today. In the passage of Scripture that we just read from John chapter number 19, let me bring you up to date. This is the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He had been lied about. They had falsely accused him. They had stolen his clothing, embarrassed him, nailed him to a cross after having beaten him within inches of his life with a whip called the cat of nine tails. Sometime in this process, there had been a crown of thorns placed on his head. They've driven a spear in his side. When he was thirsty, they gave him vinegar to drink. And the setting is, he's hanging on the old rugged cross, a place called Calvary, a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. Now, we all see the Savior hanging there, but I've got to tell you who is standing nearby. His mom. His mother's sister is there, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But are we shocked that standing at the feet or the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus Christ, Mama's there. I'm sure when he looked out, he said, I sure am glad you're here today, Mom. It's been a rough day, Mom. I'm going to die for all mankind. But I'm glad to see you today, Mama. I'm so glad you're here. Now, standing there also is John. Jesus speaks to his mama while he's on the cross. Jesus says, "Woman, behold thy son." Now, what was Jesus referring to when he spoke to his mother and said, "Behold thy son"? He was referring to John. He was the only other man there. Jesus was saying, and maybe nodded with his head, his hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. He said, Mom, behold thy son. He's kind of pointing toward John. This is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, Mom, take care of John here. He's my best friend. Mom, make John like your own child. Because I think, Mom, you're going to need a boy to love, because I've got to go in just a few minutes. I've got some things I've got to do for you and for all mankind. And you're going to need a boy to love. So, Mom, you take John and you make him your boy. Then Jesus speaks again and says, behold thy mother. Behold thy mother. Now, who is he talking to? Well, it is John that is a part of this conversation. And John has now been referred to as the new son of Mary. But Jesus says, behold thy mother. You know what he's saying? John, now you take care of my mama. John, I'm leaving. And John, mama's going to adopt you and you're going to become her son. But John, please, John, take care of my mama. I'm not going to physically be here to do it. Jesus was saying, John, my mama's prematurely losing her son. I'm only 33 and a half years old. She's not going to have the pleasure of watching me grow old. She's not going to have that privilege. And John, there's a whole bunch of love in my mama's heart for me. And I'm going to need you to love on her and let her love on you in my absence. John, I'm dying. John, I'm going to die in just a minute. But I'm not going anywhere, John, till I make sure my mama is cared for. It is the God-man hanging on the cross, taking care of his mom. He was saying, John, I don't want my mom hurt. And the Bible says this in John 19:27. We read it. It says, and from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He said, Mary, no, I'm sorry. Mom, I know. Mom, miss, you're going home with me. You heard. So, Mama, let's go buy you your house. We're going to get you things, and you come and live with me because it's my job to watch out for you. Your son, Jesus, he just told me, I'm going to call you Mom, and you're to call me son, and you're coming over to the house. And I promised him I was going to take care of you. They're walking home, and Mary said, Johnny, why do you think he did that? He said, well, Mom, I think you've been hurt a lot, and I just think he wants to make sure that you're protected and you're not hurt anymore. In verse number 28, listen to this. The very next verse, after all this is taken care of, it says, Jesus said, knowing all things were accomplished, he went on with the crucifixion. In other words, part of what had to be done on that cross, for Jesus to have accomplished everything he was to accomplish, he had to take a moment, look down at his mama, and make sure she was cared for before he could go ahead and die, because it was his responsibility to make sure mama was not hurt any more than necessary in life. And the Bible says, knowing all things were accomplished. You thought, well, he had to be beaten with the cat of nine tails, and they had to lie about him, and he had to go through that the court hearings. All that was a part of what had to be accomplished on the cross. Oh, yes, but he waited until he took care of mama, and then the Bible says, knowing all things were accomplished. He said, all right, folks, we can go on with the crucifixion now. I've taken care of my responsibility to my mama. And he said, let's get on with it. I'm going to need to die. But you all have to understand, I had to take care of my mama before I died. It was a part of the plan of God. The title of my sermon this morning is, Don't Hurt Your Mama. I remember one time in my life making my mama cry. She and I were sitting at 546 West North Street, Winchester, Indiana. Sitting at an old round table, beat up, not in good shape at all. It's in the evening and I had become very contrary and was not behaving myself well at all. It was in my teenage years. I remember my mom looking over at me from across that table, and she began to cry. And she said, Jeff, what am I going to do with you? What is wrong with you, son? And she began to cry. I stormed out of the room for two reasons. One, I was not ready to give in. Two, I couldn't believe I had made my mom cry. I went to my room, and I made a vow. I said, God, I will never, with all the power within me, I will never make my mother cry again. This morning, I called my mom. I said, Mom, it's Jeff. She said, oh, I'm glad we got to talk before church. I said, Mom, I said, just call to remind you again how much I love you and how much you mean to me. I said, Mom, I so desperately, I don't want to be a disappointment to you. And she said, oh, joy, you're the joy of my life. You're the joy of my life. I remember that night that I'd made her cry. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I've made it through another day without making my mama cry. Listen, don't hurt your mama. You know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1 says, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Are you heaviness to your mother? I don't want to be heaviness. What's it talking about? Do you weigh her down? Do you depress her? My sermon today is going to be very simple. You have to forgive me. I'm not a very smart nor a complicated person. But I'm going to talk to you about don't hurt your mama. Point number one. Children, don't hurt your mama. I want you to look up at me. I want you teenagers to look up at me. You look right at me while I'm speaking. Out of all days, you don't want to mess with me today, young people, when I'm telling you how to treat your mama. Not today. You shut up and you show respect to this preacher while I teach you how to treat your mama. Because some of you desperately need to learn how to treat your mom. Children, don't hurt your mama. I don't think you understand that she entered the jaws of death to give birth to you. You do not understand the pain that your mother, the physical pain that your mother went through to give birth to you. Now, don't you hurt her. Don't hurt your mom by disobeying her, children. You obey your mom. You know, when you disobey your mom, you're hurting yourself, but you're hurting your mom, too. Don't hurt your mom by lying to her. Tell your mom the truth. Tell your mother the truth. Be honest. The one that'll be there the day that you're dying on the cross, I'll guarantee you, it'll be your mom. And don't spend your life causing her not to believe what you say. Tell her the truth. By the way, be good to your stepmama too. Don't lie to your stepmother. Love your stepmother. Be good to her. Did you know something? Do you know if you have a stepmom, did you know God has enabled you to love two mothers? That's possible. No one will ever take the place of your biological mother. But I can tell you this, God has given you enough love in your heart that you can love more than one mom. Don't steal from your mother. You children, don't you go to your mother's purse and steal things from her. I wonder how many young people get into mom's purse and take things that do not belong to them. That's wrong. That's wrong. That is a sin. If you have stolen from your mother, you need to pay her back. I might need to say this. If you're a grown adult, you borrowed from your mother alone and you never paid it back, you're a crook. I'll tell you this, your mother is so gracious and kind and loves you so much, she may not harp you about it, but if you said you're going to pay it back and you didn't, you stole from the person on the face of this earth that gave you very life. But to every little boy and to every little girl, you listen to Brother Owens, don't you hurt your mama, don't you lie to your mama, don't you disobey your mama, don't you steal from her. Do you know that scientists have found that insanity is inherited? You get it from your kids. Mamas, I know, I was a kid once. My mom, she's a remarkable lady putting up with me. Hang in there, mama. But I say to every child, don't you hurt your mama. I'm going to tell you something, children. There are some gray-haired saints of God that will sit and listen to me today, and they'll say, I wish I could do it all over again. If my mama were alive, I'd treat her different. I'd love her different. I'd respect her different. I would be good to her. But you children, don't you hurt your mama. Point number two. Please turn your phone off. This is far too important for a phone to be going off in church. I'm not mad at you, but please. Point number two. Teenagers, don't hurt your mama. Don't hurt your mama. Don't talk back to her. Don't be snotty with her. You say, well, she was snotty with me. I'm talking about your part. I'm not here to talk to your mother today. I'm here to talk to you. Every young person that is a teenager should respect your mother. And don't smart off to her and don't roll your eyes when she tells you what you're to do. You be good to her. You treat her gently and kindly. You obey her. You teenage girls, you be moral for your mother's sake. I asked a mother, I said, tell me, what would be the biggest heartache that a mother could face in life? And she said, a child getting pregnant out of wedlock. So devastating to a mother. Because she had dreams for something better for her daughter. By the way, same for son. You want to devastate your parents? Just go out and be immoral. Create a child. I'm not going to say father a child because animals can give birth or have sex. You're not a father because you're able to create a child. There's more to being a father than that. You were able to reproduce, but so can an animal. But you teenage girls, you listen to me. You be moral. Don't you break your mama's heart. You teenage boys, you be moral. Don't you make your mother have to face the embarrassment and the pain of your immorality. Whatever you do, young person, teenagers, don't you ever, ever raise your hand to strike your mother. You never grab her. If that's funny to you, you've got a problem. You're not in the right church to laugh when a man stands up and says, don't hit your mama. You might get away with that some liberal church out there, but around here, we respect our parents. Oh, does this nation need an old-fashioned dose of parental respect again? Mom and dad are supposed to be the king and the queen in the home, and they're to be treated that way by young people. Now, you teenagers, you listen to me. Don't you ever raise your hand against your mama. Don't you ever. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. What kind of a young man would grab his mother or hit his mother? A wimp. A wimp. No man should raise his hand against a woman. Oh, but teenagers, you love your mama. You teenage boys, you protect her spirit. You protect her heart instead of breaking it with your rebellion. Rebellion in the heart of a child breaks the heart of a mother. To every little child here today, Brother Owens begs you, don't hurt your mama. To every teenager here, I beg you today, don't hurt your mama. Number three, grown adults, you too should not hurt your mama. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Can I tell you how you can live long? Honor your parents. Vitamins are good, but you need to take the vitamin of respect for mom and dad. You'll live longer that way. There are people all over the place that are in premature graves because of the way they treated their parents.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some of you are signing your own death warrant because of the way you treat your mom and dad. Obey. When you live in your mom and dad's home, you're to obey what they tell you to do. But there are some grown adults in here. You say, I no longer live with my parents. Well, though you may not obey any longer because you now have a household of yourself, the Bible says you're to continue to honor your parents. You may not be living at home, grown adult, but you should honor your parents. And may I say, well, you say, well, my parents, they're deceased. They're in heaven. Whether your parent is alive or not has nothing to do with honoring them. You should be honoring them then with your life. Your life should be a tribute. Your life will either be heaviness to your parents or it will be a blessing to your parents, whether they're dead or alive. If you live, hey, I don't want to put this in here. If you're a grown adult, you say, well, I'm 19, 20 years old. If you live in your parents' home, you are to obey your parents and honor. You say, well, that's not right. I'm 21 years old. It doesn't matter. If you're 21 years old and you're still living in your parents' home, you're to shut up and obey.
Amen.
And then you're to always honor whether you live with them or not. Some of you adults have living parents, but you treat them like they're dead, like they're non-existent. If you got parents out there and they're alive, you better be honoring. Better make sure they know that you love them. Don't hurt your mama, grown adult. She gave you life. You understand something? If you're a born-again Christian here today, your mother gave you the life that you will experience eternal life and everlasting life in heaven because your mother gave you physical life. If it were not for your mama, you would not be saved. Why? Well, you had to be a person before you could get saved. So you owe a debt. He said, but my mother's not even interested in Christianity. She gave you life. And you had to have the first birth before you could have the second birth, which is salvation. And had she not given birth to you the first time, God couldn't have given birth to you and become your heavenly father. And so it doesn't matter to me if your mama, you say, my mother is a wicked woman. That does not matter. You are to honor her. You may not obey her anymore, but you are to honor her. Your mother. So point number one, children, don't hurt your mama. Point number two, teenagers, don't hurt your mama. Point number three, grown adults, don't hurt your mama. Do you know something? If your mother has never done anything for God, your life could help do it for her. Point number four, make your mama proud. Make your mama proud. Become a fine Christian daughter. Become a fine Christian son. Become a fine Christian father. Become a fine Christian mother. If your parents didn't even rear you in church, let me tell you one of the greatest compliments that you could give your parents. Why don't you rear your kids in church and turn the tide and help your family become a Christian family? Become a fine Christian husband. Become a fine Christian wife. Make your mama proud. I'm not talking about a proud arrogance that denies God His place. I'm talking about a mother being able to hold her head high and say, look at that. And I have to tell you, folks, all moms say they're proud of their kids. I'm talking about something beyond just being your mom. Mom will pat you on the head and say, I love you and I'm proud of you. I know how moms work. Mom can find something to be proud of when nobody else can. I'm not talking about mom having to squeeze it out of herself to find a way to say I'm proud of you. I'm talking about her holding her head high all the time. Make her proud. Hey, why don't you develop some qualities in your life that she never even had? Others might think that you got them from her. Because she sure did try to develop some qualities in your life that you chose not to, and they think that you got your negatives from her. Be loyal. Make her proud. Be loyal. Disloyalty is a very deep character flaw. It's time for some of you to learn loyalty, because it would be a good reflection on your mother. Show your mom you have the character to be loyal. To be loyal to your mate. To be loyal to your Bible, to the preacher, to your country. Let people see. You've got some great qualities about you. Make your mom proud. All that you do is a reflection on your mother. And I hate to say that, but I know that's heavy. But you might as well face it. All that you do is a reflection on your mother. Be faithful to church. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Pay your bills. Tell the truth. Give like you're supposed to your church. And if your mother's gone and in heaven, let her look down from heaven and say, I'm proud. Not just because I gave birth. Not just because moms are proud of their kids. I'm truly proud. I'm truly proud. And so, children, don't hurt your mama. Teenagers, don't hurt your mama. Grown adult, don't hurt your mama. Make your mama proud. Don't hurt your mama. Say how, Brother Owens? Don't hurt her by ignoring her. Ignoring her as if she doesn't exist. The only call you make to your mom on Mother's Day, or did you even plan on making that one? The only card she gets all year long is a Christmas card? Maybe. and a Mother's Day card, and you think you're a good child, I'm sorry. You happen to be listening to a preacher today that will tell you the truth. I will not pacify you so your conscience could take a nap this afternoon. I'm going to tell you. The reason you have the sodomites going crazy in America today is because we've lost sight of what a family really is. Let two sodomites produce a baby. It takes a mama.
Yes, sir.
It takes a mama. Did you ignore your mom? She gave you life. You make the phone calls and you let your mom know that you care about her and that you love her. A lot of people make a phone call. It's quick and easy. I challenge you. I dare you to sit down and write your mother more than a page letter today or tomorrow. Write her a letter. Actually, write her a letter. Not a card. I'm not asking Helen Steiner Rice to say your words for you. You. An ink pen, a piece of paper, and sit down and write your mama. You say, my mama's in heaven. Write her anyway. She can read.
Amen.
Slow down and realize who gave you life. You know what you can do? Every once in a while, grab up a church bulletin and just stick it in an envelope, send it to your mom. Say, Mom, these are some of the things that are happening at our church. Don't forget her at Christmas. Don't forget her birthday. Don't forget her anniversary. Don't forget her on Resurrection Sunday, and don't forget her on Mother's Day. But you know what you need to do? Some of you need to learn not to forget her all the time. Write her for no reason. Give her a card for no apparent reason. Call her for no apparent reason. Send her a gift. You say, it's not her birthday. Send her a gift. Why? Because you love her. Don't hurt your mama by ignoring her. Hey, don't hurt your mama by messing up your marriage. Let your marriage be a blessing to your mother. Again, I'm just going to tell you. And if you say, well, brother, once I've already experienced a catastrophe in my life in regard to my marriage, well, let me explain something to you then. Surely you would want me to try to spare someone else from having the same catastrophe, or do all you care about yourself? Well, I can guarantee you, when a mother watches her daughter or son's marriage end in catastrophe, you've got one hurt mother. And again, I'm telling you today, I'm coming on behalf of mothers. If mothers could stand up here, I think they would say, you're right, Brother Owens, these things do hurt. And I hurt. I have pain. And it doesn't necessarily mean that mom's mad or hates somebody or you, but I can tell you she hurts. And don't hurt your mama. Let your marriage be an example to her. And listen. If every time you have a struggle in your marriage, you run to your mom and tell her how bad your marriage is, you're not doing her a favor, nor are you doing your husband or wife a favor. Why don't some of you tell your mom what's right with your marriage instead of what's wrong with it all the time? You know, a good Christian marriage and home is a blessing to a mom, whether she's even a good Christian or not. She can hold her head high. What can she say? Don't hurt your mother by messing up your marriage. Don't hurt your mother by ignoring her. Hey, don't hurt your mother by not giving your best in rearing your children. Rear your kids for God. It's best for their grandmother, I'll promise you. If you are a grown adult, rear those children so your mama will be proud. Did you know that grandmothers hurt very deeply when the grandchildren are messing up their lives? Don't hurt your mama by not giving your best in the rearing of your kids. Teach your kids the good qualities of your mama. You know, your mom's heart will be broken if she watches your grandchildren destroyed because of the way you have chosen to live your life as a parent. There was an earthquake. Oh, a predicted earthquake. And a husband and wife, they were living in the area of this predicted earthquake, and they called mom and or grandma, as it were, and said, "Mom, we need to send little Joey over to the house. They've predicted an earthquake in our area, and we need to get him out of the area." And so they packed little Joey up and sent him off to grandma's house, and 3 days later, grandma called back and said, "Sending Joey home. Send me the earthquake instead." Our parents, even though sometimes our parents may not understand our Christian child-rearing principles and guidelines, they will be proud of your children that go to Martinsburg Christian Academy. They will be proud of your children that are learning to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thank you, and pardon me, and I am sorry. And your children that listen to godly, decent music and live in a moral way, no mother in her right mind would be disappointed with a grandchild that was moral and decent and patriotic and church-going. And don't you hurt your mother by not giving your best in the rearing of your children. Don't hurt your mother by being unkind in life. What a terrible tribute to a mother. You, sir, you, ma'am, in your home, there's hatred, spite, arguing constantly. Oh my. You know, parents are disappointed when they have children that are nasty in their attitude. Remember back? Remember back when you were growing up? Mom said, be good to people. Don't hurt each other. Here you are, a grown adult, still acting like that. Rude, unkind, hateful, unforgiving spirit. You know, an unkind life is a slap to your mother's face. My daughter and I was preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia at a family conference this week. My daughter and I took Charlotta with me. We went to Bob Evans to eat. And while we were in Bob Evans, I watched. There was a table right beside us. And the people had gotten up. They left their table, threw a tip down there, and walked away. An older lady came over, and she was the one cleaning the tables, taking all the dishes off and everything. And I looked at her, and she was somewhat tattered and not nice clothes. But and I'm thinking that this is a relatively poor lady, and she was very, very not unkind or very matter of fact kindly cleaning up the table. I watched a young waitress come over. That young waitress came over and almost bumped this older lady out of the road. It was the waitress that had served at that table. That young waitress came over and grabbed up that tip and shoved it in her little vest and real snooty with the older lady and kind of walked off. My heart broke. I thought, how rude. I reached in my wallet and pulled out the biggest bill I could find. My wife only gives me little bills. All I had was a 10. But I pulled out a $10 bill. My daughter said, "Where are you going, Daddy?" I said, I just need to talk to someone for a second. I stepped over to that older lady. Her eyes were kind of glassed over. She was very obviously tired. I said, "Ma'am, do they tip those that clear the table?" She said, "No, sir, not here." I said, "Well, today they do." I gave her that $10 bill. Saw a little tear roll down her face. She said, "Thanks, mister." I went over and sat down. Now you tell me whose mama is going to be most pleased. The rude waitress's mama or mine? Well, how did you treat the checkout lady at Walmart this week? How did you treat the person down at the bank this week? How did you treat the one that you work with at work this week? Well, they mistreated me. Didn't you remember your mom saying, "I don't care who hit who first"? still haven't learned it, have you? I hope my mother can hold her head high and say, my son is a gentleman. He's kind. He tries to be good to people. Don't you hurt your mother by being bitter in life. Even if you blame her for your bitterness, you look at me, whether you'll accept it or not, bitterness is a choice that you make for yourself. Well, it's my mom, it's my dad. You get off your mom and dad's back. It's my husband, it's my wife. If you're bitter, you chose to be bitter for yourself. Living a bitter life. Boy, that would hurt your mother. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter with your mother. Well, she wasn't everything she was supposed to be. We're not talking about her now. We're talking about you. Are you everything you're supposed to be? And the Bible teaches it's a sin to be bitter. It's one of the best Mother's Day gifts some of you could give, is to give a Mother's Day gift of ridding yourself of the bitterness between you and your mama. Don't be bitter with her other children. For some of you, there's teenagers, you don't get along with your brothers and sisters. There are grown adults in here, you still don't get along with your brothers and sisters. And I'll guarantee you, it breaks your mama's heart. I'm not saying that you ought to be like all your brothers or like all your sisters. I'm not saying you ought to live wicked in the world. I'm not saying that. But you ought to have a certain admiration, respect, and there ought to be a certain kindness between every brother and sister, and it breaks your mother's heart when brothers and sisters don't get along. Don't be bitter with your dad. I promise you, it breaks your mother's heart. Don't be a quitter. It'll break your mother's heart. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on your wedding vows. Don't quit on making something good of your life. Don't quit on yourself. He said, but Owens, I tried and tried. I just can't seem to get over some of these flaws in my life. Well, you get up and try it again. You owe it to your mama. You owe it to your mama not to be a quitter. My mom didn't raise any quitters. I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm going to do something with my life for my mama's sake and my God's sake. Time for some of you to get back on your feet and say, I'm not giving up on this thing of trying to serve God with my life. I will make my life a tribute to my mom. Don't be a person that hurts your mama. Don't be a gossip. Don't be a critic. Don't hurt your mom by gossiping to her. You know that gossip is poison? Why would you want to give it to your mother? Don't hurt your mother by gossiping about your mom. Don't hurt your mother by gossiping with your mother-in-law or about your mother-in-law. Gossip is poison. Don't hurt your mom. Hey, don't hurt your mother by hurting your church. You hurt your family's name if you're a troublemaker in the church. You hurt your mother's name if you're a troublemaker in the church. Even if your mother's not a churchgoer, you should still try to give her a good name in the church. Have a decent attitude. Hey, don't hurt your mother by blaming her for all your life's problems. I cannot tell you. You can go to the average psychologist and he'll say, the reason you're a jerk is because of your parents. Well, he's a liar. The reason you're a jerk is because you chose to be a jerk. I know all sorts of people that were reared in raunchy homes that turned out to be decent, godly, considerate people. You have chosen it for yourself, adult. Don't you blame your mom. And don't you blame your dad. I'm so tired of that. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions today. Somebody goes out and massacres a bunch of people. They want to study and find out what's wrong with mom and dad. They better study the individual. Anybody that wants to be decent and kind and good and polite can do it. You blame your mom for all your life's problems. A child grows up in a terrible situation. They think it's all mom and all dad. Hey, don't hurt your mate's mama. If you're married here today, be good to your mother-in-law. This is very hard for me to say. Borderline heresy. I love my mother-in-law, and she knows it. I treat her like a queen. I treat her like a queen. My mother-in-law grew older. She's lost a leg. She's had strokes. She's paralyzed. I remember back when I set aside a day and we crowned my mother-in-law queen for the day. Brought the entire family. I brought her whole family into the finest restaurant in town. Paid for the entire thing from start to finish. I crowned her that day. It's called Queen for the Day. Gave her as many gifts wrapped in the most beautiful paper that we could find, as many gifts as she was celebrating, I think, birthday at that time. Went to the mayor, and I said, "You have an outstanding citizen in this city." The mayor wrote up a great big write-up and deemed that day that she was queen for the day in that entire city. Put a newspaper article with a picture of it in the paper. Let me ask you a question. Are you a good friend to your mother-in-law? Well, I am. I'm a very good friend of my mother-in-law. I love her. She gave me my wife. My mother-in-law doesn't go to church. I'm not saying this to hurt her. She really never has. She's saved, but that's it. She would disagree with me on my philosophy of child rearing. But we're friends. And I love her. And she loves me. Be good to your mother-in-law. And you need to let your mate love their mother. Are you your mother-in-law's friend, or does she know it? There was a funeral processional, a hearse. Man was walking up the street, and as he was walking up the street, he looked, and there's that hearse, and in the hearse, there was a man sitting. And right beside the man was a dog. This one guy walking up the street, he looked at that hearse, and behind that hearse, there are virtually hundreds of people, single file, walking behind the hearse. This guy along the street, he runs over to the hearse and taps on the window and says, hey, well, what is this? What's going on? The guy inside the hearse says, well, this is my mother-in-law, and this is her funeral, and said, this is my dog. My dog attacked and killed my mother-in-law. And the guy said, this is the strangest funeral procession I've ever seen in my life. So the guy runs back over to the street corner, and then he goes back and taps on the window again and says, hey, can I borrow your dog? The guy in the car said, okay, buddy, get in line. Couldn't help it. Don't hurt your mama. Listen to this. Don't hurt your mama by dying and going to hell. If you're not a born-again Christian, the best thing you could do for your mother is to get born again. If you're a mama, the best thing you could do for your own children is to get born again, get saved. You don't get saved by giving your money to the church. If somebody told you that, they lied to you. You don't get saved by getting baptized. We're a Baptist church. We believe in being baptized after one salvation, but it never saved anybody and it never will. So I took the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. That's never gotten anybody to heaven. Eating cracker and some juice never has saved anybody, never will. You need to realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin, and that is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. You need to realize that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. They crucified him, buried him, and he resurrected to pay for your sin debt so you could go to heaven. You're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, and Jesus paid your sin penalty for you. You need to turn to him and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. And at that moment, he'll save you. If you're not a born-again Christian, you ought to get saved. I'm going to tell you something. You say, Brother Owens, my mother is not a Christian. You're saying I ought to get saved and not go to hell for her sake. Let me tell you something. If your mother dies and goes to hell, the minute she gets there, I'm going to tell you the first thing she's going to think of, I don't want my kids here. Because that's just the way mamas are. I don't like it here. Say, prove it. Luke chapter number 16. The Bible says a man died and when he woke up in hell, the very first thing he said is, I don't want my brothers to come here. I don't want my family to come here. So I will guarantee you that even if your mother is not a born-again Christian, has no interest whatsoever in Christianity, the moment she dies and she wakes up in hell, she'll say, not my kids. Not my kids. And I'm not talking about you being religious now. I'm talking about being born again according to the Word of God. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not here to get your church membership, your baptism, your money. I'm here to tell you, you have a never-dying soul and it'll spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And you'll either get born again God's way or you'll go to that hell. And I'm not threatening, I'm promising, because it is a part of the book called the Book of Promise. It is God's book that predicts it's going to happen that way. And He's never been wrong about one prediction. If your mama never was a Christian, you say, I think my mom's in hell right now. Your mom would be crying out, listen to that man, get born again. If your mama's in hell right now, she would say, I was all wrong about rejecting the church. I was all wrong about working your way to heaven. I was all wrong about it. Get born again. Get saved according to the Bible. I don't want my baby to come to this place. I'll guarantee it. Don't hurt your mama. I fly out of Dulles Airport every other week of my life. Walking through the airport one day, and there was a black man standing there, and I pulled out my New Testament and I began to talk to him about Jesus Christ. His name was Sharif. I said, Sharif, let me ask you a question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, I'm a Muslim. I said, Sharif, I didn't ask you if you're a Muslim. I asked you that if you died today, you were 100% sure you'd go to heaven. He said, sir, I'm a Muslim. I said, Sharif, please hear me out. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? I said, my name's Jeff Owens. I'm pastor of a Baptist church not far from here. He said, my grandma was a Baptist. He said, mister, my grandma passed away just last week. He said, mister, my grandma, she'd been praying that I'd get saved. I said, Sharif, you want to see your grandma again? He said, more than anything. I said, then Sharif, you'll have to get saved the same way your grandma did. I took that New Testament and I showed him the plan of salvation. And the minute Sharif bowed his head and closed his eyes in that airport, he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. I met him a Muslim. I left him a born-again Christian. Because some mama had the sense to pray. Mama was in heaven up there probably going, that's it, Sharif. That's it. Maybe you're going to be with me someday. If you're not saved, I recommend salvation. If you are saved, don't hurt your mama. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.